All right, we want to bring in now and continue the conversation with Andrew Levin. He is a former Federal Reserve Board Special Advisor and Dartmouth College Economics Professor. And Andrew, thank you for joining us here today. I just wanted to begin with the discussion about what the Fed is actually going to do. It looks like the markets are pricing in a doubling of the taper, maybe $30 billion per month instead of the $15 billion. But just want to get your reaction. What are you looking for here in what's about to come in 54 minutes?
Right. Well, so the really critical thing to keep in mind here is the Fed's been totally taken by surprise over the last 6 to 9 months. Originally, they were thinking that inflation this year might be just a little bit above 2. Then they were thinking it might be 3, then 4. The latest information we have is the Fed's preferred measure is going to come in around 6% for this year, 2021. Another surprise was they thought that inflation would be back to the target next year. And as recently as September, they were still expecting that the core inflation measure would be close to the target next year, which meant a very gradual series of normalization rate hikes, kind of like what happened in 2015, 16, 17. The problem now is consumers are expecting inflation next year to be in the range of 6 to 8%. And those are feeding into the wage negotiations that workers are having. As you mentioned a few minutes ago about the great resignation, a lot of workers are quitting if their employer can't give them a big cost of living increase just to keep up with the cost of living. So the press conference today is going to be really important to hear what's the Fed's plans now, given the new information they've got in the last just in the last few weeks. What's the new plan?
And how careful do you think, in that note, how careful does Jay Powell have to be in his messaging today? Because the Fed is walking a fine line right here.
Right. I think that what's been extraordinary in these last 2 years is that the pandemic caused the biggest downturn, economic downturn, most rapid downturn we'd ever seen in just the space of a couple months. Then we saw the biggest improvement in employment, very rapidly last fall. And this year we're seeing the biggest surge in inflation that we've seen really ever. In some ways, a more pronounced surge in inflation than we saw in the 60s or 1970s. The Fed has to communicate clearly today that they're alert to the new information, that they are prepared to not just make a moderate course correction. Changing the taper from May to March is a modest course correction. Moving from one rate hike next year to 2 or 3 is a very moderate course correction. If consumers are expecting inflation to be 6 to 8% next year, that requires a much stronger course correction. And they can't wait another year or two to do it, because if they wait too long, that would just fuel a further upward movement in inflation. So they need to respond quickly.
And Andrew, I want to talk to you about the leadership at the Fed. We know that Jay Powell is retaining his role as chair of the Fed, but we got some switchouts that are going to happen next year. We don't know exactly who's going to replace several members of the Fed, including Richard Clarida. And I'm just wondering, because we haven't seen a divided Fed really in some time. It fits and starts maybe, or from time to time, but I think the Fed consistency in the leadership and following Jay Powell has been fairly consistent over the last few years. And when Powell has pivoted, as he did after, I believe it was December 2018, had that nasty sharp drawdown in the stock market, and there was a clear policy error at the time. I'm just wondering, does Powell retain his leadership role? And what's the likelihood that we're going to have a Fed that is united next year? What does it look like if they're not?
Okay, those are really great questions. I think so. One important characteristic of the Fed is the way it's designed is the Board of Governors in D.C. takes the lead, and the Fed chair is the leader of the Board of Governors in D.C. The regional Feds have a few votes on the FOMC that makes the policy decisions. The challenge right now is that Randy Quarles has just stepped down. And Rich Clarida, who's the vice chair, his term ends in January, and there was already a vacancy. So as of right now, the next FOMC meeting at the end of January, unless there was really extraordinarily rapid nominations and confirmations by the White House and the Senate, There will only be four members of the Board of Governors in D.C. as of the end of January, which means that the majority of voters who are making the monetary policy decisions at the end of January are going to be the regional Fed presidents. So you're absolutely right. That creates a challenge for Chair Powell because he doesn't have the natural kind of support that he would have in other circumstances from all the board members in D.C. He's going to have to work very hard to be a leader and garner the support of the voters who are from these different regional Fed banks.
And then what do you say to critics and even some former Fed officials, right, who say that the Fed has really been behind the curve, hiding behind this transitory shield for way too long?
I'm sorry, I can't defend it because I actually think that things are even worse. The latest information we got just in the last few days, okay, last Friday was the CPI report, close to 7% annual inflation, 12-month rate, okay, and heading upward, not down. The wholesale producer price data we just got yesterday, again, it's pointing upward. The labor market reports we're getting, the nominal wage growth is just trying to keep pace with the cost of living. That means workers want pay increases of 5, 6, 7, 8%, which is totally reasonable. These are not greedy workers who are fed up and quitting their job because they're greedy. These are workers who are really having trouble making ends meet and who want a pay increase just to keep up with the cost of living. The Fed has a very tough job ahead of it in this next 6 months or a year to help explain to the financial markets what is the plan for stabilizing inflation, to keep it from getting worse, and to bring inflation back. Probably it'll have to come back gradually toward the 2% target, but inflation's running way, way above that now and heading in the wrong direction.
Well, and we've been talking about inflation. We should talk about the labor market too, if that's the second part of the dual mandate here. Are we close to full employment? It seems to be a debate here. Obviously, the Fed has to take care of inflation now first as a priority, but are we getting closer to that full employment as part of the Fed's mandate as well?
Okay, I think that it's the Fed has a dual mandate, maximum employment and price stability. Both of those are important. One of the mistakes the Fed made a year ago was they dropped the commitment to a balanced approach. So they pay attention to both of those things. The truth is we're not going to be really back to maximum employment in the next few months. You look at certain demographic groups, they're still not there. Now, if we continue to have very strong job growth for another 6 months or a year, we could be at full employment by the end of the year. But the Fed can't wait that long before it makes the rate hikes. In fact, it's going to have to probably move by spring or summer much more aggressively. You put up a chart a few minutes ago here. I just want to emphasize that probably what we're looking at, probably, doesn't look like the rate hikes of 2015, 16, 17. That was 1/4 point rate hike every other FOMC meeting. That meant 4 hikes per year. Okay. You go back to the 2004 and 5, they called it measured pace. That was 1/4 point every meeting, which meant 8 times a year. You go back again to 93, 94, that's where I think we're going to have to be next year and the year after. In that case, they were making 50 basis point, half percentage point hikes multiple times in a year, because they recognized they needed to move quickly to make sure that inflation didn't surge back upward. And the situation we're facing now, the Fed might have to even move more aggressively than they did in 93, 94. The complete change, the pivot is not done. Chair Powell has to make more of a pivot today and more again in January and more in March to help markets get used to the extent to which we're in a very different situation than the Fed was expecting a few months ago. Very different.
Yeah, and you're talking about 93, 94. Hopefully we don't have a repeat of the Volcker era in the early 1980s. Really appreciate your time here. Andrew Levin, former Federal Reserve Board Special Advisor and Dartmouth College Economics Professor.